My name's Michelle Owu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust today. The object of the research is to compile a contemporary portrait of the UK. The date is the 29th of July 2009 and the time is now 7:31 p.m. Can you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
I'm Roger Duckworth. I'm 66 years old and I come from Clitheroe in Lancashire.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. A little nervous.
Anything in particular you're nervous about?
Despite the fact that I do quite a lot of walking and quite a lot of climbing, I'm not too good at what people call airy ledges. And looking up at the plinth, it looks like an airy ledge to me.
Airy ledges?
Airy ledges. It's a kind of semi-technical term.
What does it actually mean?
It means you've got a big drop on both sides.
Did you come down from Lancashire today?
Yes, came down with my wife, and we've got various members of the family, my son, my daughter, both their families coming along, various alleged friends. I should get quite a decent support, really.
Now, you mentioned that you do a lot of walking. Would you like to tell me more about that?
Yeah, I helped to lead a group of walkers in Clitheroe in Lancashire, in the Ribble Valley. And basically what we're trying to do is get people fitter and better and healthier all the time. We started off originally with, I think it was 4 volunteer helpers and 1 walker. So we actually had 4 volunteers and just 1 customer. Now we've got 450 people who walk with us every week in the Ribble Valley area. Anything from 1 mile round the park right through to 6 miles, fairly strenuous fell walking. And what's great is to actually watch people move from the one to the other. We get people straight out of hospital who can barely walk around the park. A year later, they're up on the fells. It's absolutely fantastic.
How did you get involved with this group?
I was there right at the inception, actually. As I said, there were more volunteers than there were walkers to start with. And my wife saw it in the paper. She said, "That looks like your sort of thing." After I retired, I've done quite a lot of trekking around the world into Peru and Himalayas and the Alps. It's just seemed like something to, I suppose, giving something back, really.
Tell me a little bit more about the treks that you've done in South America.
Yeah, when I was working, it seemed to me that it was rather selfish to start wandering off for 3 weeks at a time when you probably only got 3 or 4 weeks holiday. So I retired aged 61, and it's quite surprising now. My wife doesn't seem quite so disappointed to see me go now that I'm at home 52 weeks a year. The idea of suddenly going off for 3 weeks at a time doesn't seem to be too disappointing to her anymore. So I've been to Annapurna Base Camp, Everest Base Camp, Inca Trail, a lot of Patagonia, Mount Toubkal in Morocco, as well as quite a few long distance walks here in the UK. I really enjoy it, and it's probably something I would never have done if I'd left retirement until, say, 65 or 66.
So how long have you actually been walking?
I've been walking in this country since I was about 40, 30 or 40. My daughter wanted a dog. She wanted a dog so desperately, she was going to look after it. It was going to be her dog, etc., etc. This lasted a fortnight. After that, I was walking the dog, and myself and a pal of mine used to go up onto the fells, and that's what really got me into it.
And what's been the reaction of people, some of the people that have joined you?
It's amazing how grateful people are, I think, to realise that they can get fitter and get better and become healthier. We get, on a fairly regular basis, really nice notes from people and little presents occasionally, saying how much they're enjoying it and how much better they feel for it. And in many cases, a lot of people who are alone, older people, they really can't get out and about on the fells. They've got the natural nervousness to being up there on their own, and they go out with a different group, and it's really satisfying for them.
So what sort of age range would it
say? We come all the way from 20s, but mostly people are in the 50s and 60s. That's the biggest age group we've got.
And who's the oldest?
We had someone not too long ago who actually died on a walk. He was in his late 80s, a lovely, lovely man, and he just leant against a fire bar gate and died. And I think it's fair to say he probably wanted to go any other way.
Can Can you describe what you're wearing for me,
please? Yes, it's allegedly a Henry VIII costume. All I know at the moment is it's jolly, jolly warm, and I haven't even got half of it on yet. I've got the pantaloons, I've got the tights, I've got the little buckles on the shoes, I've got the appropriate shirt, I've got some form of, my granddaughter calls it dress, over the top of that, and any minute now as the hour approaches I should be putting on a huge object made out from what looks like 17 foxes, I think, on top of it. So yes, it's going to be pretty heavy and pretty hot up there, I think.
Where did you get the costume from?
I have to say I hired it from a company in Longreach near Preston, a company called Dress Circle. It's a real Aladdin's cave, there's all sorts of things in there. And I went in and was trying to decide what to do, and they took one look at me and said, well, we do have a Henry VIII costume that might just suit.
What is it about Henry VIII that appeals to you?
Well, I was originally going to do just come on as a walker, but when you see a few of the people up there, it looks a little bit, tame really, I suppose. So I was mindful of the fact that it is exactly 500 years this year since Henry VIII came on the throne. So I thought it was a way of celebrating it, however badly.
Tell me a little bit more about what you're actually going to do when you get up there.
Well, I'm kind of going to split it into two bits. First of all, I'm going to talk about Henry VIII and his life, hopefully concentrating on some of the more amusing bits or unusual bits or perhaps things people don't know. And then I'm going to move through some fairly clunky links, I imagine, to talk about the walking and an organisation called www.whi.org.uk, which is basically a government initiative to try and get people walking and to try and get people fitter. But as you can imagine, trying to link between those two is probably going to require some fairly doorsteppy sorts of links.
Why did you want to take part in this project?
I've always admired Anthony Gormley. He's a sculptor I have a lot of time for and always have had. Also, my son lives in Formby, and so the Another Place sculptures that look out to sea there on the Mersey estuary is very much the default walk that I go on with my wife and my son, daughter-in-law, and his family.
How did you feel when you found out that you had a place?
I was, first of all, absolutely delighted, and that has gradually been replaced over time by something approaching sheer terror.
And how are you feeling now? Are you still terrified?
No, right at this very minute, I feel pretty good, actually. I was asking somebody earlier, have they ever had anybody actually turn round on the cherry picker and come back again? And that's still, I would call it, plan B, which is probably still a 45% chance of success.
Who would you say you're doing this for?
Me, really. I thought it would be good fun. I thought I would enjoy it. I wanted to be part of it, as I said, because I don't think you get very many chances to be part of a major arts project. I bought Time Out coming down today, and I was looking at the arts items in the British Museum and the National Gallery and the Royal Academy of Arts, and then I looked down and it said Trafalgar Square and there was a star against it, and I thought, that's it, I'm going to be part of an arts project. I mean, this is fantastic.
Have you ever taken part in an arts project before?
No, I don't think I've ever taken part in anything quite like this before, that's for sure.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
Well, one of the things you have to do is actually put a few words about yourself. I think you're allowed 3 words to try and describe yourself. And after a bit of thinking about it, I put try anything once. And I think that's pretty much me, yeah. I'll settle for that.
What else is important in your life,
would you say? Family, very important. My wife, my family, my grandchildren. I used to think that work was tremendously important. And I say up to the age of 61, I had a fairly high power job. I was CEO of a local company. And it was probably about 2 years after I left work that my son suddenly turned to me and said, I never thought you'd actually leave it behind, but you have done. I've done two or three other different things. I've got a few little side jobs. And they are just as important to me now as work ever was. I'm a non-executive director of a local trust. I've been a director of Opera North, up in the north of England. I'm a trustee of a couple of charity trusts and a mediation trust. Excuse me. And it's good fun at the moment. I'm really enjoying life.
Did it take you a long time to reach the decision to retire early?
No, not really. Interestingly enough, there were a group of us. We all worked very hard to make the company what it was. But I think there came a point when we all realised that it was time to let go.
What are they doing now?
Sadly, my successor, who was younger than me, died last year. He retired after I did. And it's one of those things that makes me think, or just reminds me, I suppose, that if not now, then when?
Are you still involved with Opera North?
No, I ran that for about 3 years and gave it up.
What was that like?
That was good fun. I suppose it's fair to say that not all decisions they made were ones that I would have wanted to make, and vice versa, so that was fine, it ran its time.
And you mentioned that you're also involved with a couple of charitable organisations now.
Yes, I'm involved with a charity trust. Bizarrely enough, myself, I led a group of people who bought out my original company. The money all went to the owner. He then died fairly shortly afterwards, and he established a trust whereby we donate fairly substantial sums of money to liver charities and eye charities and arts charities. And so it seems rather odd, I suppose, that the money that we helped to get together to give to him in turn came back to a charity trust. I suppose that's a pretty decent full circle, really.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to the rest of my life, I guess.
There is one thing. Sorry, coming back, you mentioned about mountains, climbing mountains, Annapurna, Everest Base Camp. What did it feel like when you did that, when you managed that?
It's very odd. I'd done quite a few. And Everest Base Camp is perhaps less interesting than most of them. But just to get there, just to be there, just to be part of it, it's an incredible feeling. But the first one I ever did, I did the Inca Trail. I did it with a group of people who were round about the same age as me. One or two of them really, really struggled to do it. And they got, there's a point at which you get to the top, and they call it the Gateway of the Sun, and you look down on Machu Picchu. And at that point, about three of them just burst into tears. Well, frankly, the rest of us weren't too far behind either. It was just a fabulous feeling, and that, in a way, nothing ever quite recaptured that first time.
What do you think being on the plinth might be like?
I tell you what, I'll tell you at 9:30.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.